A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has not had an experience like that of the sons, both sons, in today's Gospel? We're asked to do something, and our first response is to say no. Maybe we're too busy. Maybe we don't feel capable of doing what is asked of us. Maybe we just don't feel like doing it. So we say no. But then we have second thoughts. We regret our hasty response. We may feel guilty about refusing. Or we may realize that this really is something we know how to do. So we go ahead and do what we first refused. No fanfare, we just do it. We've all been there. We know what this is like. We've also been the second son. We say yes as hastily as the first son said no. But then we get busy or distracted. Or we resent taking on one more responsibility. Time passes, and the job doesn't get done. We don't go back to the person and explain why we didn't follow through. We just don't do it. These are common experiences, and often no serious harm is done in either case. But what if the one who asks something of us is God? Then our no takes on greater significance, as does our meaningless yes. All of us, in some way, at some time, say no to God. Luckily for us, God doesn't hold grudges. Instead, God is always offering the grace for us to turn from our selfishness and be forgiven. When we act like the first son, our eventual choice to do what is right is a sign that we have accepted that grace. Jesus points to tax collectors and prostitutes, people considered the worst public sinners in his day. The religious leaders couldn't imagine such people being embraced by God. But Jesus says they are. Because no matter how far they've strayed from God, repentance has brought them back. But there are others, he says, who claim faithfulness, yet their actions don't match their words. They may look pious. They may have said yes. But if they don't do what God asks of them, they too have turned away. The good news is that these too are offered the grace of repentance. But first they have to recognize their need. That's sometimes harder for the self-righteous than for those who know they are guilty of serious sin. No sin is beyond God's mercy. Our God is a God who seeks us out, offering us a second chance and a third chance. And a 99th chance if we need it. Whenever and however we come to the decision to return, God is always there waiting for us. Remember your mercies, O Lord, we pray in the psalm refrain. In actuality, God always remembers mercy. It is we who need to have our memories jarred. When we are so wrapped up in self that we make bad choices, we need to remember God's mercy. When we feel so burdened with our sinfulness that we doubt there is a way out, we need to recall that God always offers a way out. When we are so steeped in self-righteousness that we see other people's sins while being blinded to our own, then, most of all, we need to be reminded that we don't save ourselves, that only God's mercy can save us. No matter what we've done or not done, God is waiting patiently, lovingly, to transform our weakness into a sincere and wholehearted yes.